I'll read, then you, three, four, and so on. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King, my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before thy face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is in an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against me. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor. Thou wilt compass him as with a shield. Now, Heavenly Father, we do love you, and we thank you for this time. I pray, God, that you bless this message. I pray, God, that you'd speak through thy servant. Fill me. Pray we'd open hearts to your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm chapter 5 was written by David. It was written during one of the darkest hours of his life. The darkest hours, no doubt, when David's son wanted to kill him. Another dark hour would be when King Saul became jealous of David and made a constant attempt to kill him. Let me just quickly explain a couple of these dark hours that I just mentioned. In 2 Samuel chapter 17, it talks of how Absalom and his men wanted to overthrow and hurt David and his kingdom. David had to flee his own son. Imagine as a dad. Imagine as a parent. Being a father, having your child hate you enough to hurt you and want to do much harm and kill you. The grief that David must have borne here had to have been unbelievable. Also, another dark hour was in 1 Samuel chapter 16. You may just jot these down, read them later. It talks about how young David was brought to Saul. Saul had an evil spirit that troubled him. He was called, and Saul went ahead and called for a man to come and play sweet music to him. David was that man. Saul grew to love him, David became King Saul's armor bearer, and David was favored in the sight of Israel. Over a course of events, after David killed the giant Goliath, Saul placed him as a top commander over the king's army. And in 1 Samuel, I'll read this, 1 Samuel 18, verses 6 and 7 reads, "And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the woman came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Where at this particular time, this is where Saul became very wroth. He became very jealous of David. And Saul wanted to go ahead and kill David. And David was always having to run from the hand of Saul. Now, going back to the story behind this psalm, we find that David, he was facing some of the darkest hours in his life. Let me just stop and say this. I'm sure that in this room, some of you this morning, you're facing some very dark hours. You are facing some troubled hours ahead of you. You don't know how you might make ends meet this next month. You don't know about maybe a doctor's report that's coming your way. You're unsure about some things, maybe unsure about a job. And no doubt there's some of you here this morning, you are facing some dark hours. Psalm chapter 5, 11, David writes this during these dark hours. He says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Let me just stop and say this. David, through it all, he found reason to be happy in the midst of tough circumstances. Let me tell you something, folks. You know, we have a reason to be happy this morning. Yeah, you say, well, preacher, you don't understand the bills that are on my desk at home or on my kitchen table. You don't understand what I've been going through. You don't understand some of the situations. But you know what? Let me just say this. If you're saved this morning and if you're a child of God this morning, you have every reason to be happy. Amen. Jesus, he came down. He served on this earth for 33 years. He went through some very tough situations. He was cast out. He was mocked at. We know the story of the cross. He went to that cross. And let me tell you something. I thank God that Jesus went to that cross because of that, we can have eternal life. And if you're saved this morning, you have every reason to be happy this morning. You know, Christians ought to be the happiest people on the earth. We ought to be the ones who portray happiness. We ought to be the ones that have a smile about our face and a little bit of spring in our step. We ought to, our smile, if you will, ought to be contagious. The joy that we have really, really, really ought to be contagious. You know what, when you go to work, and yes, I understand there's weights, and yes, I understand there's troubles, and I know that this morning there's some heartaches, and there's some illness, and maybe you're waiting for that bad doctor's report, and maybe a death of a friend or a loved one. Maybe some disappointments are here this morning. Maybe some grief is here this morning. Maybe there's a loss of a job here this morning. Someone has perhaps disappointed you. Maybe someone said a hurtful word to you. And maybe you're going through some financial struggle and you wonder how you're going to go ahead and make it. But let me just tell you something. We have every reason, despite that, we have every reason to go ahead and have true joy this morning. Let me tell you something about my friend, Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's that friend that will go ahead and he came so that we might have life and that we might have it life more abundantly. You know, the Christian life doesn't have to be drab. You don't have to sit there, my friend, and be upset. Yes, I understand your burdens. You've called me this week with some of your burdens. He said, Pastor, please pray. You've called me this week, or you've told me personally some of the burdens, and I hurt for you. But the truth of the matter is, we as Christians, we do have the joy of the Lord if we're saved. Amen. Amen. I know that you're facing some heartache. I know that you're facing some struggle. I know you're facing some difficulties. But let me tell you something. We have a friend whose name is Jesus. David was going through some of the darkest hours of his life. But let all those, he says, that put their trust in thee. Hey, let me tell you something. If you put your trust in Jesus, he says, rejoice. Let all those who put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Hey, let me tell you something. You know why I'm happy this morning? I'm happy because I'm not going to hell. You know what? I don't have to worry about, you know, the Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hey, let me tell you something. You know why I have a little spring in myself? And yes, I have some difficulties. And yes, I have some struggles. And yes, I have some heartaches. But you know why I can have a joy unspeakable and full of glory this morning? You know why I have a little bit of spring in my step? Simply because I don't have to worry about going to hell this morning. I've asked Jesus to come into my heart. I realized that I was a sinner one day. I realized that there was a price of my sin, and the Bible says that price is hell. And I realized that Jesus, and I thank God that he paid that price. Hey, you know what? Why you can be happy this morning, Christian friend? Because you have Jesus in your heart. And nobody, by the way, can take that away. The Bible says it's a gift. Boy, salvation is a gift. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to strive for it. You don't have to go ahead and endure, if you will, to the end. You know, the Bible says it is a free gift. Hey, you know why I have joy this morning? Because I get to go ahead and serve Jesus. You know what? Church family this morning, you know what, visitors this morning, we all have the joy of serving Jesus this morning. You know, we really can go ahead and God has given you the same opportunity that he's given me to serve, not in the same capacity, if you will. But you know what? We can have the joy of serving Jesus. You know what? I have to admit, this morning, I look forward to 9:45. I really do. And as them kids funnel in, and as the parents are here, and as the teenagers are here, I have a good time going ahead and putting a little smile on a little child's face. You know what? That brings me joy. And you know, the truth of the matter is, you know what? We may be wallowing around in some grief this morning, and I'm sorry about that. And we may be wallowing around in some disappointment this morning, and I'm sorry about that. And we may be wallowing around in some heartache this morning, and I'm so sorry about that. And as your preacher, I love you, and I pray for you, and I long for anything to go ahead and have that burden lifted up off you. But let me tell you something. You can have joy through your burden. David did. David had joy. You know, Jesus, he said, you know, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You know, for the joy that was set before him, you know, Jesus, knowing at a 12-year-old boy there in the temple, he understood the purpose of his life. And he realized at 33 years old, God went ahead, and I believe right there in the temple in Jerusalem, God revealed unto young Jesus his plan and why he was born in such a unique way. And I believe that was the purpose for which he was created. And 33 years later, he died and went to the cross. And you know what? He said, for the joy that was set before me, I went ahead and endured the cross and took the shame. I wonder if maybe the joy was because he was probably looking forward to seeing his father again. But you know what? I also believe that it was joyous to him, even though it was so much painful, so much pain, so much, you know, going to that cross and all the pain that had to go along with it. But I think he also had joy because he knew it was a way for you to get to be where he is, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Hey, my Christian friend, this morning, maybe you are having some heartache, just as David did here. Maybe you are going through some struggles, just as David did here. But let me tell you something. There is joy in serving Jesus. There's joy in knowing Jesus. There's joy in just being part of his family. But some of you here this morning, you're saved, but some of you may not be saved. But let me just talk to the saved here. Some of you, you're saved this morning. You know for sure you're on your way to heaven, but you see it, the joy seems to have been zapped. And you say, preacher, I long to have that joy again. I long to have that peace again. The joy has perhaps been robbed from you, you feel. You feel like that the peace has been stripped from you. You say, I want it back. I want joy, the joy that I had. I want the peace that I had. And I'm going to very briefly this morning, as we move forward, give you some reasons why we may not be happy this morning. Could we maybe have an usher? This is a seat right down here. Good to have you folks. God bless you. Appreciate you coming this morning. There you go. There's a seat right there. Deanna could move over. There you go. Thank you very much. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. And but I'm going to go ahead and share a few thoughts with you. Oh, there's a whole list of things, reasons, but I'm going to just share four reasons why I believe we may not be happy. Us, those of us here this morning, why is it that we're not happy? Reasons why our joy may have been robbed. Number one reason, it could be that there might be some sort of sin that has been left undealt with. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to keep a clean heart before God. That Holy Spirit, you know, when I got saved, that Holy Spirit indwells us, and he's there to go ahead and communicate with you. He's there to go ahead and convict you when we do wrong. Hey, I know we have the sinful nature. The Bible says that the flesh and the spirit, they war against each other. And the truth of the matter is, the more that the one that we feed the most wins, by the way. But the truth of the matter is, the Holy Spirit goes ahead and he lives there. And when we maybe say a bad word, or when we maybe go ahead and do something that's not quite right and so forth, the Holy Spirit is saying, hey there, you shouldn't have gone ahead and said that. And when he does that, when you feel that tug in your heart and you know that you did something wrong, boy, it's the best time to go ahead and confess it is immediately. Get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have thought that thought. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that word. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have gone to this place. I'm so sorry that I did that. Hey, maybe there's one reason why the joy has been zapped out of our Christian world, if you will. Maybe one reason why the joy may be zapped out of you, you know you're on your way to heaven, but maybe there's something in your life that should not be there. Hey, I plead with you, get it right. I plead with you to get it cleaned up. The Bible says in Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. David was here, he was saying, search me, O God. Hey, you know, hey, my friend, let me just plead with you this morning. Maybe you're dealing, maybe there's some things there, and you don't have that joy, you don't have that spring in your step. You don't have that peace that passes all understanding, perhaps. Yeah, you can take me back to a time and say, preach, I know that I'm saved. I know for sure I'm going on my way to heaven. But I want that kind of joy that so-and-so may have. I want that kind of joy that you have. I want to have that peace in my heart. I want to have that peace in my mind. Hey, well, search. Ask the Lord to search you. Search me, oh God. You know, oftentimes it's good for us to come to an altar at an invitation and just for God to go ahead and get this spiritual vacuum out to clean us up a little bit. How long has it been since you've gone to Jesus and said, search me? When was the last time that you've just, as a Christian, you and God got in a prayer closet somewhere and said, God, you do your duty. God, you clean up my act. God, you go ahead and you do what you need to do. The psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, the Bible says. Joy can be stolen from us when we have unconfessed sin. You know, you can go ahead and maybe hide that sin from the preacher. You may be able to go ahead and hide that sin for a while from the wife. You may be able to go ahead and hide that sin for a while from the husband. You may be able to go ahead and hide that sin for a while from a Sunday school teacher. You may be able to go ahead and hide that sin for a while from your mama or your daddy. But the truth of the matter is the very one that's the most important in our life, and he ought to have rule and reign in our life. You can't hide it from God. God knows every thought. God knows every. No, God knows our heart. God knows what we're thinking. Hey, the truth of the matter is maybe you've got to go ahead and deal with some sin in your life. I don't know what it is. I'm talking about that thing that you're thinking about right now. I'm talking about that thing that, well, the Holy Spirit's just dealing with you right now. You say, well, preacher, some people think that the preacher goes around, just takes out a pen and paper and just lists all the sins of his people. You know, by the way, you know, the preacher doesn't have time to do that. You know, I don't go around searching, and some people may think, you know, but it is called the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about that thing right now you're thinking about. Why can't I have the joy? Why is my joy robbed from me? It might be that there's something in your life that's just kind of, that's keeping you separated from God. No, not separated from heaven. You're a child of God. God moved inside you, and you know for sure you're on your way to heaven. God can never, nobody can ever take that away. That is a gift. But the truth of the matter is, what is it in your life that you're thinking about right now that you need to clean up? You know, as your pastor, I want you to be happy. I want you to have joy. Boy, it hurts me when I get these calls, and I know that, and I know some of your burdens here this morning. It hurts me when you tell me, preacher, this has happened, this happened, and it really hurts my heart, and it hurts me when you go ahead and leave messages and you call me and say, this has happened, but the truth of the matter is maybe there's some deep-rooted things there that's really taken your joy away. You know, David, through the circumstances, he said, rejoice. He had joy. Maybe there's something this morning, my friend, that you need to deal with. Go ahead and try to hide it, but you can't hide it from God. Number two, why is some of the joy maybe stolen out of us? It could be that we have a burden that we're not willing to let God handle. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care, I love this, all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, that word casting there means literally to throw upon. I mean, to take it and throw it. That's what it means. The Bible says to cast all your care. You know what Jesus says? Hey, you know what? Maybe some joy has been taken. That burden that we just, that of that list that I talked about. That disappointment. That heartache. And it's weighing you down. Hey, you know what? Jesus says, hey, cast it upon me. I want to go ahead and bear it with you. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. He says, go ahead and give me the burden. I will go ahead and give you the rest from the burden. Hey, you just cast it upon me. He says, literally throw, hey, you take that disappointment and just cast it upon Jesus. You take that heartache and you just cast it upon Jesus. You take that, and by the way, you know, he's the one that can handle them a whole lot better. Oh, he can. I've learned that the hard way. I used to think, well, you know, I've sat where you're sat. I used to think, well, I'll get through this, you know, and being a man, amen, just kind of, get through this, figure it out. Let me tell you something, man. As a leader of your home, you know, there comes a time often that when you try to bear the burdens of your home and your family and your work and all the whole list, you know, I find myself, hey, listen, I can't handle this by myself. I've got to go ahead and cast my bills, if you will, upon Jesus. I've got to go ahead and cast the illnesses that may face my way upon Jesus. You know, there's a lot of visitors, several visitors here this morning, you know. And I use this because only as a tool to maybe encourage you a little bit. But when cancer entered our home a couple years ago, not everybody knows this. My wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she had a double mastectomy. She went through the chemo, the whole kit and caboodle. You know, she lost her hair, everything. And we have taken that circumstance as the very best that we can, and we've wanted to go ahead and bring joy to others that are going through it. We've used it as a ministry, if you will. I've seen people, my wife and I both have seen people with cancer get saved and so forth, and I just praise the Lord for that. But you know what? When it came, you know, my wife, she just, I got to use this illustration. I remember sitting there, and it was like her second or third chemo treatment. And a nurse went ahead and asked her, because my wife is young. She's a young lady, and it's not common necessarily to have breast cancer. I mean, it can happen, obviously, but she's young. And like her second or third chemo treatment, I took her to most of her chemo treatments. There was a nurse there, and she says, Kathy, you ever wondered why this happened to you? And I'm going to just bare my heart a minute. And at that time, I was at a very low point in my life. I mean, and by the way, I faked it, though. I was an assistant pastor. I mean, I tried to, but personally, inside, I mean, I was at a very low point in my life, and I'm admitting it. But I went ahead, and she was asked that question. She says, did you ever wonder and sit here, why has this happened? And she said this statement. I'm telling you, she's the most godly lady I know. She says, I didn't sit here and wonder, why me? But why not me? And here I was, the healthy one at that point. Here I was, kind of, I didn't tell my wife my pity party. Nobody knew my pity party but God. I had to get through a few things myself. I mean, just, you know. But let me tell you something. When she said that, why not me? And I sat there and I thought, you know, if she can have that kind of attitude towards the cancer, I think I can go towards the cancer that she's enduring. You know, I think that I can go ahead and have an attitude, and even better, enduring it with her and not even having the problem. I mean, we faced it together. When cancer came into our house, it just didn't, you know, my preacher said it very wise. You know what? You don't just have cancer. We all have cancer. You know, our church took it on. Our family course took it on. My kids took it on. I mean, everything right on down the line. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? I had to, you know, that one statement that my wife made, that got me to a private altar, and I said, I'm so sorry, God. You know, I've been trying to handle, you know, the ministry. I was trying to handle being mama and daddy. I was trying to handle all of this, and I'll admit, by myself, I was trying to do it. You know, yes, I was walking with God, but man, I just felt like, but there's a part of me, and you know how it is. I'm confessing a minute here, but there's a part of me that just, you know, I kind of quit. God, why? Lord, why is this happening? You know, and I'll admit, I know I had a little attitude about it deep inside my heart. But God used that one statement. My wife knows it too. And he used that one statement, and that got me to a point, whoa. God, I'm so sorry for my attitude. I'm sorry for my pride. I'm so sorry. You know, I had to come to a point of giving my whole burden to the Lord. You know what? Because let me tell you something. During that time, the joy was zapped out of me. the joy, I mean, real, I mean, and don't misunderstand me, you know, I would go, and people who knew me and saw that period of time, they knew, you know, hey, man, you know, I wasn't going to go to in front of my teenager and say, well, you know, everything, no, hey, man, yeah, you know, but deep in my heart, I said, man, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you here this morning, you feel like, you know, your whole life is crushed and things are just falling around you. Hey, the truth of the matter is, don't let it steal your joy. Hey, you know what? Use it for good. Use it for good. You know, you say, well, I'm going through this. But you know what? Why don't you use it for good? Use it to go ahead and maybe encourage somebody. Use it to go ahead and help somebody through a battle that they're having. Hey, use it for good. Hey, you know what? One big thing I've learned from cancer, you know what? And by the way, we still think about it. I don't know if or when it may occur. I hope it never occurs. And I thank God my wife is cancer-free today. And I'll pray that she's cancer-free. And she'll live I know she'll live longer than me, but let me tell you something. We use cancer for good. Let me tell you something. We are some more burdened about cancer patients than we ever were. You know what? Not that I wasn't before as a pastor, not that I wasn't sensitive to it before, but let me tell you something. That burden that I bore, that burden that we carried, let me tell you, we look at cancer a whole lot different now. It's a whole different thing in our life now. Boy, I may hear somebody on the news or maybe some prominent person who may have cancer. You know what? It bothers me still. I don't care who they are. I don't care who they are. It bothers me when I hear some reports of people. It really hurts me because I know what they're going through. Let me tell you something. You may be going through some things. Why don't you use it for good? Why don't you take that burden that you're bearing and use it for good? But you know what? What's happened, the joy that God wants to give you, the blessings that God wants to give you, they're right there. But the truth of the matter is the burdens that you're bearing has robbed your joy. And when will you go ahead and stand up and say, okay, God, you know, I've tried it myself. God, I'm coming to you. I need your help. I'm talking about those of you who have job situations. I'm talking about those of you that are facing illness. I'm talking about those of you that are facing family problems. I'm talking about those of you that are facing disappointments or a death of a loved one. Hey, Jesus says, listen, cast. Throw it upon me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I will give your rest. Your heartache, give it to him. Your illness, give it to him. Your financial struggle, give it to him. Your disappointments, give it to him. He says, just cast it. Just give it to me. A number three reason why our joy may be robbed this morning. It might be because we become lax, or perhaps even to a point of ignorant of the blessings of God. Let me just stop and say this. We have a lot to be thankful for when you think about it. You know, the Bible says, as I was studying here, three times in Psalms, from 107, verse 1, this same verse, Psalm 107:1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then that same verse, right down in Psalm 118:1, at the beginning of the chapter, the same verse. And then that same verse at the end of Psalm 118:1, the same verse reads, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, three times within 107 to 118, God goes ahead and uses the same verse. You know, it makes me think that he's trying to get his point across that we need to be thankful. The Bible says to be thankful. You know, we have a lot to thank God. We serve a mighty good God. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be happy about. You know, if you're saved this morning, you have a lot to be happy about. You know what? But see what happens when we get sick. We have a tendency to shake our fists at God and blame him. When we have a heartache, we have a tendency to shake our fists at God and blame him. The truth is we need to go ahead and flip things around a little bit. Maybe flip our attitude around a little bit and say, thank you, God, for what you've given us. Hey, how about that roof over your head? Amen. How about the food that you eat on your table? You say, well, maybe it's just rice and beans. Well, praise the Lord for it. How about that car you drive? Well, preacher, you don't understand the car I drive. It's got four bald tires and it's a Chevy. Amen. Sorry about that if you're a Chevrolet. I'm just kidding. Or it could be a Ford. It could be anything. But how about the car that you drive? Thank God for it. Maybe it's not a 2008. Maybe it's a 1908. Amen, though. No, but think about it. Think about it. You know, we go ahead and we compare to other people. Well, you know what? I could be happy if I drove that. No, but you don't want their payments. Amen. At least you may have a car that's in your yard that's paid for, and maybe there's four flat tires, but praise the Lord, it's there, and you don't owe anything on it. Now, wait a minute. You say that you're against payments? No, if you can afford it and you got it, great. Praise the Lord. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Go for it. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? We have a lot to be thankful for. I thank God for the four seasons he gives us. Amen. Even when you're living in Maine and this winter, those of you who live in Maine, it was a little hard to be thankful. I'm sure it was. I lived there for a little while, and I became very thankful that we came down to where there's less snow. It just seemed like it kept coming and coming. But the truth, you know, I thank God for the four seasons. You know, I thank God that for the green grass. I thank God for the fall, which is my most favorite time of the year. I thank God that he gets his paintbrush out and he paints all the pretty colors on the trees. You know what? If we would just go ahead and take what God has given us and take it personally. I mean, take the beauty of his creation, for instance. Yeah, I take that personally. You know what? You know, if there's a flower budding out in the field, you know, I happen to see it, you know, I say, thank you, God. I take that personally. I take it personally that, you know what, you put that there for me, didn't you, God? You know what? That creates joy, if you will. That'll give you joy. And you know, and sometimes those of you that are bearing your burdens and different things, you know, it's just good. You got some heartaches. You know, it's just good to stop once in a while and go for a drive out in the countryside. And you know what? And oftentimes I've done this whenever I feel like, man, I just got to wait and different things. Sometimes I just go for a drive, or I try to go find a wooded area, go for a walk. And maybe I'll see a bird sing. Maybe I'll see different things. Maybe I'll see the flowers bloom, or in the fall of the year, the pretty colors of the trees. And you know what? That encourages me. You know why? Because God put that there for me. God gave us air to breathe. God gave us a roof over our head. God gave us, sometimes we just become so ignorant, if you will, for the things that God has given us. The car that you drive. Boy, thank God for his Bible. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for a good church. Thank God for a family. Thank God for the job that he's given you. You say, well, I don't have one right now, but let me tell you something. You know what? Thank God for what he has given you, and he will go ahead and provide. Just trust him. The list can go on and on. God has blessed us, and we ought to get to the point where we don't become ignorant. We don't like that word, but due to lack of a better term, ignorant of his blessings. Boy, sit back and just think about how good he is. The goodness of God, as I read in that verse three times. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Boy, we serve a good God. Amen. We ought to be happy about the things that he's given us. And number four, maybe we've lost our joy simply because we've not received the joy in the first place. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I wonder if there's somebody here this morning. You know, the Bible says that Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible says that there's joy in knowing Jesus. Maybe you're here today, you say, you know, the joy has been zapped from me. The joy, I don't have the joy that you're talking about. I'd like to have the joy, but you've never really had the true joy. And maybe you're here today, you say, you're not for sure you're saved. You don't know for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. Oh, my friend, I plead with you before you leave this church this morning, before you leave the fellowship this morning, I plead with you, know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. You know, the Bible says that Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, true joy comes from knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. Amen. Amen. We pointed that clearly earlier. You know what? It's just a joy in being a Christian. We ought to be, we as Christians, we ought to be the happiest people on earth. We ought to have a little spring in our step. Our testimony ought to be, speak that of the joy of Christ. When you're on the job, when you're out shopping or you're going about your errands, boy, there ought to be something different about you. There ought to be a little spring, a little smile there, even in spite of the circumstances in your life. There ought to be a certain joy there. Why? Because we're saved, but some may be here. Maybe there's a few here this morning. You don't know for sure. You say, you don't have the joy I'm talking about. I plead with you, don't leave this morning until you know the joy, and that is Jesus Christ. True joy comes from knowing Him as your personal Savior. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? The Bible says, and I quoted it earlier, 1 John 5:13, and I'll quote it again. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. You can know that you have eternal life simply by believing in the name of the Son of God. How can I have that joy? How can I know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die? You got to first of all understand, number one, you're a sinner. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible also says right across the page there, Romans 3:23, drop these verses down if you need to check it out. But Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that we're all sinners. This preacher is a sinner. Doesn't matter who we are in this room. Doesn't matter where we are, who we are, or what kind of job we have. The Bible says we are all sinners. And because of our sin, we've come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says because of our sin, there is a price for it. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the first part, for the wages of sin is death. You know, the sin, we were born into sin. We have a sinful nature. We have to understand that we're a sinner. To know for sure we're on our way to heaven, we have to understand we're a sinner. And number two, there's a price on sin. And the Bible says that price, the wages of sin is death. That word death there is not talking about a physical death, which we will never be able to avoid that, but that's talking about a spiritual death, being separated from God forever in a place called hell. Revelation 20:14, jot it down if you want to check it out. But Revelation 20:14, the Bible says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. My friend, let me tell you something. I don't want you to die. I want you to have the joy that God can give you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we got to understand that we're sinners. We got to understand that there's a price on sin. And the truth of the matter is that price is hell, a place of fire, a place of brimstone. But and by the way, hell was only created for the devil and his angels. But all we have to do is understand we're sinners, there's a price, and that Jesus, thank God, He paid the price of that sin. But God, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I couldn't pay for it. Your preacher couldn't do it. Somebody else couldn't do it. We could work hard if we want, but that's not going to do it. Jesus was the only way. He's the only truth, and He's the only way to Jesus, to God. We've got to understand we're a sinner. We've got to understand there's a price on sin. Jesus, He paid that price. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Perish where? Perish in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven. All we have to do is simply realize we're a sinner. And I'm being repetitious because I want you to get it in your heart. There's a price on sin, but Jesus, He paid that price. And all you have to do is open your heart. God says, for with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. And the Bible says, for whosoever, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call, whosoever is anybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Let's say whosoever might call or whosoever doesn't know. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, do you know Him? Do you have a personal relationship with Christ? Maybe you're not saved here this morning. I plead with you just in a few minutes. I'm going to have an invitation. You say, preacher, I don't know the joy that you're talking about that the Christians have. It starts with Jesus Christ. It starts with knowing Him as your personal Savior. When the invitation comes, I'm going to stand down here, and if that's you after a little while, if that is you and you don't know for sure you have a home in heaven, I plead with you, don't worry about what somebody else beside you think. Don't worry about, it's only going to be you that's going to stand before Christ for yourself. You only will stand for an account for yourself, not for the friend next to you, not for the person behind you. And if you're here this morning, you're lost and you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, I plead with you after a while. You step out, you shake my hand. And if you're a lady, I'll have you sit down with a lady, and a lady will show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you're a man, I'll have a man sit down with you and show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Oh, my friend, true joy starts with Jesus. It starts with Jesus. See, preacher, how can you go ahead and have the sprig in your step and the smile on your face? It's because I know Jesus as my personal Savior. And I'm not boasting about that. I'm glad that I realized I was a sinner. I'm glad someone loved me enough, a soul winner loved me enough to show me from the Bible how I could be saved. And I realized I was a sinner, and all I had to do was open my heart, and Jesus came in, and he lives inside me. That's where true joy starts. But there's some of you here as a Christian, your joy is gone. It just, you feel zapped all the time. They say, preacher, I wish that I had this joy. I wish I could be happy. And we ought to, by the way, be the happiest. We Christians ought to be the happiest people around. But maybe there's some sin there. Only you know what it is. You and God does. Maybe after a while, you got to go ahead and make a decision at this altar and say, Lord, you help me. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But God, the joy has been zapped out of me, and I want true joy again. I want happiness. Why don't you go ahead and get it right, my Christian friend? Maybe you've sat back and you just have forgotten about how good God is. You know, God has been so good to you, and maybe you just got to come forward and say, Lord, you know what? I know I'm saved, and I just, boy, some of my joy has been zapped simply because I forgot how good you are. Boy, God, you provided so much for me. You take care of me. I thank you, God, for my salvation. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my job. I thank you, thank you, thank you. There's so much there you could be thankful for. Maybe there's just some struggle there that you're not willing to let God handle. My friend, how about that burden? You know what it is right now. How about that burden? And I'm not talking about the burden of sin necessarily. I'm talking about the burden that you're of financial or heartache or illness or whatever it is. Maybe you've just not been willing to say, hey, cast it. Hey, here, Jesus. Hey, by the way, he can handle it a whole lot better. He can carry that burden a whole lot better. Hey, what is it? You know, as your preacher, I want you to be happy. I pray for your happiness. I want you to have joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Maybe you're a visitor here. You know what? I want you to be happy too. I want you to have that joy. And maybe you're unsaved here today. You don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Oh, I want you to receive that joy, which is through Jesus Christ. Oh, I plead with you, don't leave. Do not leave this place until you know Jesus as your personal Savior, because that's where the joy begins. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here today, you say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. Maybe one of them areas, or maybe it's another area that I didn't even speak about. But the Holy Spirit's dealing with me right now. No one's looking around. No one's going to go ahead and look at you. But maybe you're here today. You say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. Here's my hand. Would you please pray for me? I won't call you by name, but God spoke to my heart. Here's my hand. There's some struggle. There's some heartache. I won't call you by name, but here's my hand. Would you please pray for me? Here it is. Come on, that's it. You say, God spoke to my heart. Would you just please pray for me? Would you just please pray for me? Here it is. Anybody else? There you go. Anybody else? God spoke to my heart. Okay, you may put your hands down. Our Heavenly Father, I love you, and I thank you for this time. I thank you for these dear people. I pray, dear God, that the heartaches and maybe the struggles, or maybe we've just forgotten about how good you are, I pray, God, that we'll just get it right, whatever it is, that we'll just get it right this morning. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here, they don't know you as personal Savior, which is where the joy begins. I pray, God, that they won't leave this place without knowing you as their personal Savior, so that the burden of sin could be lifted, because you paid it all on that cross. I pray, Lord, you'd bless. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. No one's looking around. Let's just stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet right now. The music's going to play. Maybe you're not saved this morning. I'm going to stand down here. Won't you just come shake my hand and tell me that? And I'll have someone sit down with you and show you the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe there's some of the area in your life that God's dealing with you about right now. Won't you get it right? You know what it is. The music's going to play. And as the music plays, won't you do business with God?